we're going to do something a little bit different tonight, as opposed to keeping to our not really normal, but more normal Misgeret of Hilchos Tefillah. Instead, what we're going to do is we'll do a little bit in Yana D'Yoma. We're obviously in the Beit HaMetzarim, Shavua Shechalbo, the most intense element of the entire 3 weeks, the Avelis Tishana, as the Gemara responds to it, or the Gemara calls it. And I think the Rav pointed this out, which I think is very, very true, that other than the Rav's classic distinction, we know the Rav's classic distinction in terms of categorizing that, you know, kol tikkun derabbanan kein deraisa tikkun, or that these nihugi avelos can't be by themselves, but they got to fit neatly into some other halacha category. So the Rav did a interesting job of saying how the 3 weeks were really connected to Yud Beis Chodesh. That's why you have Heter Leshev, Achigo B'Chavero, and then for the sake in the 9 days, or like Shloshim, and then leading up until Tisha B'Av itself, which is like the Yom HaMisa itself, Aninas. Either such way, we know that the avelos is getting more intense, whether you're going to buy into the Rav's very neat categorization or not. And the reason for this is because we have the opposite effect of Avelis Tashana than we have Avelis Tachadasha. What's Avelis Tachadasha? Rachman Lotzan, a person has a mace in their family, and what ends up happening immediately is an emotional, visceral response to the intensity of that loss, right? There's no thought process that goes into it. It is just being overwhelmed with emotion. And then the process of Shiva and Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh is coping, contextualizing, and cognitively addressing the loss that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just put at your doorstep. When it comes to the Avelis of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we have the opposite process. We go from least intense to most intense. And that's not for random reason, but rather it's specific, it's by design. And it's because it's very difficult for many of us to relate to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It is something which is so long ago, something that a lot of us don't have any shaychas to. And therefore, in order for us to get to a point where we could have some type of emotional response, we need to focus intellectually, we need to try to focus on the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was so important and significant and what we're missing. And only once we have that cognitive ability to contemplate what the Beis HaMikdash represents, then can we get to the point where maybe we could actually really focus on the Chorban HaBayis. So what I want to do is spend some time talking about some of the themes related to that, such as, Sinas Chino, Mahatra Lech Kamocha, and then hopefully we'll, understand, maybe not the Beis HaMikdash, but at least the sins that led to the Chorban HaBayis, and then we could understand and appreciate a better way to mourn, and perhaps even a better way to be misaking those Chatayim, in order so that we don't need to actually go through the Tisha B'Av, which is quickly approaching. Okay. Absolutely. You tell me when I need to switch it, and I will switch it. Better? Baruch Hashem. Okay. So, like I sent out to the group before, what we're really going to be discussing is, we'll start with ideas of Ahavta Le'echa Kamocha. Okay? Now, why Ahavta Le'echa Kamocha? Because we all know that Sinas Chinam is what brought about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara Maseches Yoma already points out that Sinas Chinam, this hate, is Shkula, or maybe even worse, than all the other Chataim in the world. Why do we know that to be the case? Because the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Anybody know why? For Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, for the three cardinal sins. And it only took 70 years in order to be misaking those sins, and therefore we were able to return. And unfortunately, we're still suffering from the chatayim of Sinas Chinam, that, we're generations and thousands of years removed from the Beis HaMikdash, and unfortunately we still have not been able to fix that sin, and that's where we are, and that's why we are where we are. More than that, just, another riot to the severity, at least the way Chazal, from a halachic standpoint, analyze and view Sinas Chinam. Think of what are the only two instances of national mourning that we have. There's only two of them. It is the 3 weeks, Beit HaMetzarim, etc., and Sfiras HaOmer. What was the chid of Sfiras HaOmer? Shalom al kavod zebazeh. That they didn't actually treat each other with respect. The Talmid Rabbi Akiva, we'll talk about them in a moment. But it's fascinating to think about, right? That the only two instances of Avelis on the Tzibor level that we have that were Noeg Bizman Hazeh, and I don't really care when they were instituted. You know, there's a big discussion about the Avelis of Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara of Maseches Yevamos, where it comes up. At what point in history did we institute these things? Actually, yeah, it doesn't really matter. The point is that Bizman Hazeh, Tafshin Pei, our Avelis the Tzibor is only on Chatayim, which have to do with Bin Adam Lechavero. And therefore, it's really important to focus on the nature of these Chatayim, how they come about, and hopefully maybe a way to fix them. And one way that we could actually analyze this is to understand that this idea of Yahavta Lechamocha or Senaslina, the lack thereof, two sides of the same coin, hopefully we'll get to, is not something which is just a random mitzvah in the Torah, but actually has its roots in perhaps the most important mitzvot of the Torah. We discussed in the past, right, we had a bunch of shirim on the Aseres HaDibros, correct? And we pointed out how the reason, perhaps according to some, the Yerushalmi and Shkalim and Rashi and others point out that the reason why the Aseres HaDibros are so significant is because perhaps they're sharosh, they are the sharoshim or the yesodos of Kol HaTorah Kula. How could that be the case? Well, if you start looking at the other mitzvahs in the Torah and try to categorize them, you may be able to fit them under one of the Aseres HaDibros. And there's actually a beautiful medrash in Vayikra Rabbah in Parshas Kedoshim that goes through the numerous mitzvahs in Parshas Kedoshim, and there are many mitzvahs in Parshas Kedoshim, and actually shows you which of the Aseres HaDibros that they belong to. And says the medrash, Lo Sachmod, is Kineged V'yahavta Lech Chamocha. That V'yahavta Lech Chamocha, which is written in Parshas Kedoshim, is Kineged Lo Sachmod in the Aseres HaDibros. And therefore we see that it has its roots already going back to the Aseres HaDibros. And we see that the two sides of the same coin, that Chimod, on the one hand, will lead to, perhaps, a lack of V'yahavta Lech Chamocha. That's an important thing that, certainly to focus on. The next thing which I want to actually analyze with you, if you look at the actual pasuk of V'yahavta Lech Chamocha, anybody know how it goes? Lo Sikam Lo Sitor, right? And Esbenei Mecha, V'yahavta Lech Chamocha, that a person is not allowed to take Nekama, they shouldn't violate the Isser of Lo Sikam Lo Sitor. Anybody know what the Isser of Lo Sikam Lo Sitor is? Do you remember? These are Isurim of Nekama. The classic example that the Gemara gives is Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I would like to borrow your axe. Shimon says, no, I'm not letting you borrow my axe. Then Shimon comes to Reuven the next day and says, can I go borrow your shovel? And he says to him, no, I'm not going to let you borrow my shovel because, you know, you don't let me borrow my axe. That would be Nekama. And then Lo Sitor would be, If Reuven goes to Shimon and doesn't allow ask him for his axe, and Shimon says no, and then Shimon comes the next day and says, can I borrow your shovel? And Reuven says, I'm going to let you borrow my shovel, even though you don't let me borrow my axe. Okay? And then afterwards it says, V'yahavta Lech Chamocha. Now it's very interesting, and this is important yisod, which I think Chazal are trying to point to us, and the Torah. What is the opposite of Lo Sikam Lo Sitor? Let me ask it another way. What's the opposite of Lo Sachmod? So I would tell you, you know, the opposite of losach mode is just not being jealous, correct? The opposite of not doing nekama is just being a normal person. But it seems as if the Torah / Chazal are trying to tell you that the antidote to losach mode, the antidote to losikam lositor is v'yahavta Lech Chamocha. That the Torah is putting incumbent upon all of us not just to avoid negative interactions between, you know, fellow Jews, but to go above and beyond that. You need to love your fellow Jew. You need not just to do things which are detrimental to your relationship, but you need to foster that relationship. You need to develop a loving relationship amongst each of the different Jews, and perhaps that's exactly why, A, the Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah, tells us that the inverse of Lo Sachmod is V'yahavta Lech Chamocha, and the inverse of Lo Sikam Lo Sitor is V'yahavta Lech Chamocha as well. The point is that the Torah is not interested in us being pariv. This is not like, you know, America, you know, First Amendment rights, I can offend you all I want, v'chule, as gewaltig as those may be in different contexts, I don't know. But the Torah wants to create a companionship amongst all different Jews. And therefore, that's why we have the opposite side of the coin is not just to avoid negative, but is also to create love amongst different Jews. Okay. Now, V'hatzur Eich L'molcha is a very important mitzvah, as we pointed out. And how important is it? So we all know, whether you grew up with Uncle Moshe, or you grew up with Yeshiva Boys Choir, that it is, Klal Gadol B'Torah, correct? How do we know it's Klal Gadol B'Torah? Because Amar Rabbi Akiva, yes? So either don't walk in front of me, I may not follow, or Amar Rabbi Akiva, yes? Is that right? Okay, so this actually comes from the Medrash, right? And what does the Medrash say? Rabbi Akiva Omer Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. Ben Azai Omer Sefer Toldos Adam Zeh Klal Gadol Mizeh. So it's actually a machlokas in the Medrash, and this is a really fascinating machlokas in the Medrash. What is Klal Gadol B'Torah according to Rabbi Akiva? And according to Ben Azai, what is Klal Gadol Yoser Mizeh? Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. What is that referring to? Anybody know? It's referring to the Psukim in Sefer Bereishis. In Sefer Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis, even. Now, okay, two questions over here. Question number one is, according to Rabbi Akiva, we all know that Rabbi Akiva's students is the second type of Avelis that we have during Sefer Omer, so they all die, the famous Kasha, they all die, K'shelo Nagu Kavod Zevazeh. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva, who says Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, his students suffered from Shalom Ago Kavu Zevazeh? That seems to be problematic. If that's what he was preaching, so then how did they not get the message? It's question number one. Question number two is, what's wrong with Ben Azai? I'll read you the passage inside. Zeh Sefer told us Adam, Biyom Bara Elokim Adam, B'dimus Elokim Aso Oso. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind. Very nice. Zachar Nekeva Bara, Yivrach Hosami, Kras Shemam, Adam Yomi Bara. And he, called them Adam. That's nice. Okay, that's better than Mihatu Reich Kamocha? How? In what world? What is Ben Azai adding to the conversation? So when it comes to the first question, so there are many approaches that people give. Approach number one, you could say is, listen, this is often the disconnect between Rebbeim and Talmidim. Yes, we know the famous Rav, they want my heart. So they want my head, they don't want my heart. You know what I'm talking about? That's, my head and not my heart. No, we don't know. Yossi, you don't know the Maisa? I'll have to tell you the Maisa. Okay. So, famously, the Rav used to take a bunch of Chevra to a summer place. I don't know, was it Onset or something like that? Whatever. He used to take a bunch of the great Talmidim away for the summer, and they would learn for like hours and hours a day. He could give shir for like 8 hours straight. And that was his summer getaway and the Talmidim who wanted to continue learning would follow him, up to Boston. And one year, I think he decided, I hope I'm getting the details right, if not, I'm sure someone will correct me. One year he decided he wanted to give shir on, anybody know? Tanya, obviously, because the Rav loved Tanya. He wanted to give shir on Tanya, okay. And so he started giving shir on Tanya, 2 days or 3 days. And then some of the Baal Batim or some of the Talmidim came up to him and said, Rebbe, Dilgut is wrong, Tanya is great and all, the Alter Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's all Gevalik, but I don't know, maybe Zvachim, I don't know, maybe Nida, maybe Bava Kama, we want to hear, Gemara from the Rebbe. So he apparently in response said, they want my head, they don't want my heart. The Rav loved Torah's Chabad, especially when it comes to the drushas, and he thought that was very, very important. Rav Shechter, I've spoken to him many times about this. He thinks that the idea of Yediyas Hashem is what the Baal Tanya says, Dveikus. That's the chiyav of Emuna Hashem. Okay, so that was something very important to him, but not everybody was able to be mekabel. Okay, maybe that's also what's going on over here. People were not able to be mekabel this yisod that the Rabbi Kiva was saying. That's approach number one. Approach number two, some people say, is that Rabbi Kiva only realized the importance of Yehavzer Eich Lemocha Taka after all Talmidim died. If you experience the death of, or the tragic death of 24,000 Talmidim, whereas the Gemara says, anybody know how the Gemara says it? Did it say 24,000 Talmidim? It says 12,000 pairs, right? Correct? And I know I went to, not the greatest math high school in the world, but I think 12,000 times 2 is 24. 24,000, yes, is that true? Good. Okay. So why does Gemara say it that way, Agav? Probably to highlight the fact that they weren't pairs. Like that's who they were supposed to be. But Lamaisa, that was their chisaron. They weren't able to hold there. Maybe Rabbi Kiva only realizes that at that stage. Okay. However, I think there's another approach understanding Rabbi Kiva, and that is as follows. What is Ben Azai telling us? Let's look at Ben Azai. Maybe if we could understand Pshat with Ben Azai, then that could shed some light on to the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. So, approach number one to Ben Azai. There's a Pirush on the Sifra called the Korban Aron. And the Korban Aron explains, what was Ben Azai adding to the conversation? He said, well, there's a problem with what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Because what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, he's limiting to, is V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should love your neighbor like yourself. Okay, that's nice. But what is the clear understanding there? That he's your neighbor. He's somebody different from you. He's not you, Be'etzem. What is Ben Azai adding? Zeh Sefer told us Adam b'yom bara Elokim Adam b'demus Elokim asa oso. What is that talking about? The creation of mankind. What do we point out? Says the Korban Aron, what is he adding? Ben Azai, Shekulam b'nei av echad heim. V'hu klal gadol. Mishum dekra the after echakumacha u'mechayev av mitzada reyes levad. Aval zeh sefer mechayev oso mitzada achva shuchi of yoser gadol. What does Ben Azai add? Listen, Rabbi Kiva, what you're saying is great. It's really important to love your friends. But Taka, at the end of the day, how much can you love your friends? To what extent can you love your friends? There's a limit there, right? But what is a love that knows no bounds? What is a love that you're stuck with whether you like it or not? Family. Family is a love that exists no matter what. It transcends whether you get along with the person. It transcends distances. It transcends everything. Blood is something which we could all relate to, and no matter how far around the world a person may be, there is this connection, this kinship that exists amongst family. What is Ben Azai saying? We're all one family. Zeh Sefer told us Adam b'yom bara Elokim Adam b'demus Elokim asa oso. We're all from Adam Arishon. So don't think of that other person as just Reacha, your friend, somebody who's outside of yourself you're attempting to love. It's more than that. It's your brother. And your brother you treat with a certain amount of love. And therefore, what's the machlokas now between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva according to this? Machlokas is, what degree of love does a person need to have with their friend? According to Rabbi Kiva, it's love of friendship, and you try to make that kamocha. According to Ben Azai, no, if you realize that you're taka mishpacha, so then you're able to have a love which transcends even reyos. It's a love which goes above and beyond that. And perhaps that's a machlokas, which is existing over here. However, I'd like to suggest another idea. And I may have heard this, or read this, from Rav Ari Khan. We have the schuss of hearing Mishalvim, or not, but I may have heard it from him. So if I did, I'd like to be maybe Geula La'olam, especially during these time periods. So, and this goes as follows. Let's be medayik in what Rabbi Kiva says, or let's be medayik in the Pasuk. V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Translate that for me. Somebody. Excellent, okay? Love your friend like you love yourself. Is there a tenai in the love that you need to have for your friend?
You have to love yourself.
Ah, excellent, Yoni. You need to love your friend only as much as you love yourself. But if you don't love yourself, so then, would you need to love your friend? No, you wouldn't need to love your friend. Or it would be limited. It would only be as much as you love yourself. And therefore, there's an inherent flaw within Rabbi Kiva's statement. There's something which is chaser there. What's chaser is if I don't love myself, if I don't have the self-respect, then I need not love my fellow friend. I need not respect him to the same degree. Comes along Ben Azai, and what is he adding? What's a klal gadol?
said, Benazi said arguing on Rabbi Akiva. He's adding something else. What is he adding? Let's read the pasuk again together. Zeh Sefer told us Adam Biyom Bara Elokim Adam. This is the day which HaKadosh Baruch created mankind. B'dmus Elokim Asa Oso. How did HaKadosh Baruch create man? B'dmus Elokim. B'tselem Elokim. That we have an element of godliness within us. That there is something which is divine within each person, and that demands that we have respect for ourselves. That demands, that's mechayev of us to do something. That's mechayev of us to act godly. That's mechayev of us v'halachta bidrachav. And therefore what? I must love myself the same way that I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm created in the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore it says, Benazai, Rabbi Akiva, you're right, v'hatarech chamocha. But you also must realize that you created b'tzelem Elokim. That were created with the Muslim. And once we have those two things together, then Vihatarech Moch could really stand by itself. And without that, there's something which is lacking from that message of Rabbi Akiva. With that in mind, I think also we could get a greater insight into the famous Mishnah Perkei Avos. The Mishnah Perkei Avos says, "Aseh lecha rav, ukneh lecha chaver." Correct? So there's the idea of having a chaver, not just making a chaver, like a rav, but kneh lecha chaver. There needs to be a kinyan of a chaver. You need to work towards it. So what exactly does that mean, and what is the importance of a friend? Many of the Mepharshim say different things. However, if you look at the Rambam actually paraphrases Aristotle. And he quotes Aristotle on his parish, you look over there, calls him Aristo. I believe that's the proper, I guess, Maimonidean name for Aristotle. And he says an unbelievable line in terms of understanding what exactly is a chaver. And he says, if I'm not mistaken, how does it go again? A chaver is... it's something along the lines of hu atzmo shehu acher, something like that. I'm if I had it in front of me, give me 1 second. I don't have it in front of me right now. Okay, but basically what the Rambam says is that a friend is somebody else who is you. What does it mean, somebody else who is you? So the Rambam explains there are different types of friendships we know that exist out there in the world. There's one type of friendship which is utilitarian. You go to the store and the person has milk, and you need milk. So the friendship that you have there is only that you pay for the milk, and then you go on. And then there's, there's a slightly higher level of friendships, where maybe you share something in common, or there's a goal that you're both working towards. But says the Rambam, the highest level of friendship, which Aristotle talks about, is when you and your friend have the same goals in mind, and that you and your friend are working towards those goals. And therefore, you know what a true friend does? He's able to tell you when you have chesronos. He's able to point out to you when there's something wrong. Why? Because you have both the same goal in mind. There's no jealousy there. Because when he succeeds, you succeed. And when you succeed, he succeeds. Because we're all working towards the same goal. We're all working towards the same goal. And that's what the Rambam says is the highest level of friendship. That's the kinei lecha chaver. However, I think the backdrop to understanding Kenei Lechaver, how could it be that I could find somebody else who is not me, but I treat as if they are me? How could that work? There's somebody else. They're not me. There's somebody else. And yet I'm going to treat them to the same degree as myself? That's how Aristotle says it. That's what the Rambam thinks, Kenei Lechaver. Well, if I understand that we're both B'dimus Elokim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us both, and therefore we have the same divine spark within each and every single one of us, and I'm able to recognize that divinity within my friend, so then I can understand that we're both working towards the same thing. We're both working towards greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greater Kirvas Elokim, a greater Kiddush Hashem in this world, fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. And therefore we're both going to work together in achieving that goal. And perhaps that's how we can understand on a deeper level. How could it be that the Rambam says that Kenei Lechaver Chaver is a person whose mom is, he's not you, but he's just like you. How does that work? Because when we understand we're both working towards the same goal, we understand that we both have that the Mus Elokim, that Selam Elokim, it's much easier for us to understand that we're really two sides of the same coin because we're both working towards the same goal. And your success is my success, because when you succeed, then your Selam Elokim comes out. And when I succeed, my Selam Elokim comes out. And we're both, you know, in this together. Moving on. In terms of Yihatra Echimoka, there's a famous Gemara, Masechet Shabbos of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. This is the story with the Ger. Let's read it together. Shuv Maisa Benachri Echad Shabbat Lefnei Shammai. Amru Lo. Girani Amanash Talini Kol Atero Kula Keshini Omid Aragalachas. What did he say? Came to Shammai Azakin and said, please convert me, I'll convert to Torah, to mitzvot, to Judaism, if you can teach me the entire Torah on one leg. So what did Shammai Zaken do? Dachvu ba'masa binyan shebiyado. He took a beam from the binyan and started beating him over the head. Okay, there's a big metaphor over here that a lot of the Mepharshim talk about. Maybe that, you know, he took one of the foundations of the building to teach him that, you know, I can't teach you the entire Torah in one leg. You need the foundation. There's so much goes into it. The building's going to fall apart. Okay, different Mepharshim say different things. However, what we want to really focus on is Hillel. Bolif Nehillel. So the same guy comes before Hillel. He says, and he gave him the same deal. I'll convert to Judaism if you could explain me the entire Torah in one leg. And Hillel Taka Gairei, he converted him. And he said to him, here is the Torah. Amru lo, da'al, da'alecha sani, l'chav recha lo savid, zuhi kol ha-Torah kula, v'idach pirushahu zil gemor. What did he say to him? The entire Torah is, that which you hate, do not do to your friend. The rest of the Torah is just a perush. Go and learn it. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. This sounds like the most progressive, you know, reform version of Torah that I think any of us have ever seen in our lives. Like, what does this mean? We have to be chumoka, sing kumbaya, you know, and go home and have fun? Give me a break. What about, I don't know, Shabbos, you know, kashrus, taras and mishpacha, I don't know, belief in God for crying out loud. No? Where's that? Gilo Araya, Shvichas, I don't know. Are there so many other things which are definitional to Talmud Torah? How in the world can we say that this is in the entire Torah and the rest is just a perush? Right? Well, first of all, just to point out, obviously this is the inverse of Yatrei Chamocha, correct? What does he say? That which you hate, don't do to your friend. Yatrei Chamocha is love your friend, neighbor like you love yourself. Okay. So this is the inverse. You know, don't do the negative to your friend. So Rashi, already on the spot, tells us something very important. What does Rashi say? Da'alecha sani l'chaverech lo savid. Says Rashi, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, who is Re'echa? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is your Re'echa in this context? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al tavor al devarav. Sharei alecha. Sha'asonei sha'yavor chaverech al devarecha. What does he say? Don't go ahead and violate the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, the mitzvos, the same way that you wouldn't do it to your friend. Imagine you had somebody who you loved, or somebody, a good friend of yours, and you guys were getting together, right? And you were making a birthday party, and the person is lactose intolerant. You know what? You're a bad friend if for their birthday you get them an ice cream cake. I'm sorry. You're not a good friend, because your friend hates ice cream cake. Yes? If you're a good friend, you can get him, I don't know, a nice shawarma. Why? Because what do you do to your friend? You make sure that you do the things that they like, and you try to avoid the things which they don't like. That's what true friendship is all about, in order to make your friend happy, to make sure that they are comfortable when they're interacting with you. Says Rashi, that's exactly the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch is also our friend. He's also our Re'echa. And he has stuff which he likes and he has stuff which he doesn't like. What does he like? The mitzvahs asay. What doesn't he like? The mitzvahs los asay. And the same way that if we are considerate to our friend in order to make sure that we don't offend them, then we should be have the same consideration towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make sure that we don't chas v'shalom ever offend him by making sure that we treat him with the same respect, and there's things which he doesn't like, we should try our best to avoid. Perhaps that gives us a greater sense of V'hatra Eichemocha and why it's Zekla Gadol B'Torah. Because V'hatra Eichemocha, what have we seen so far? Number one, it's the Aseres HaDibros. Right? It's part of Lo Sach mode. Number two, it tells us that's not good enough just to be negative. Lo Sach mode, Lo Sikam, Lo Sitor. No, V'hatra Eichemocha, we need to foster love amongst Am Yisrael. We added that it's Zekla Gadol B'Torah according to Rabbi Akiva. Why is it Zekla Gadol B'Torah? Because it, with the understanding of Ben Azai, understanding that we have the Tzelem Elokim within ourselves, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind, and therefore when we're loving ourselves, we're loving the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore we have that mutual respect. And with that we can understand what the Rambam is saying, that we have a friend, a true Chaver, Kenela Chaver, somebody who's just like you, but not you. How do we do that? Because we're both in this together, we both have that Tzelem Elokim. And that's also how we can understand exactly how what the entire Torah is really just V'hatra Eichemocha, not just geared towards our friends, but also geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is about fostering a relationship with human beings who have the Tzelem Elokim and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And hopefully that gives us a better sense about what V'hatra Eichemocha is all about, why it's so important, and how we can go about and hopefully be misakein. That's it. I just want to end with... I want to end with an interesting Gemara. The Yerushalmi in Shkalim. And the Yerushalmi says as follows. We only got 2 minutes left. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar, Haluchos arkon shisha tvachim v'rachmon shisha tvachim. Okay? The Luchos were 6 tvachim long. V'yamosha tofes b'tvchayim v'akarish baruch v'tvchayim v'tvchayim revach ba'emtza. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down from the mountain, he was holding on to 2 tvachim of the Luchos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding on to the top 2 tefachim of the Luchos, and there was 2 tefachim in the middle that were left empty. And it was at that moment what happened? Cheda Egel. Cheda Egel happened there, and the Gemara goes on to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to grab them back up, and Moshe grabs them back down, and the Gemara explains exactly what happened over there. But what the Maral says is what we see from this Gemara, a very important yisod. Dafka when Am Yisrael is at its greatest heights is when we're susceptible to our greatest fall. Dafka when Moshe Rabbeinu representing Am Yisrael is holding the Luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch was holding Luchos as well, and therefore there is no greater chibur between Avinu Shebas Shemayim and Am Yisrael, that's when we have Chet Ha'egel. It's at that moment when we're susceptible to sin. And I'd just like to suggest something small. If that's true, which the Maral explains exactly why that's the case, but you know what? The opposite must be true as well. It must be that when we're at our lowest point, we also have the opportunity for the greatest amount of Kedusha. Because those are the kochos which are being poel in the world at that time. And I'll bring you a raya. When the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, so it said that the enemy enters in the Kodesh Kedashim, and what do they see? They look at the Kruvim, and what are the Kruvim doing? They're hugging each other. They're hugging each other, and we know that the Gemara in Yuma says, "Bizman she Yisrael osin ritzon shel makom," then they are pneim ish el achiv. Then the Kruvim are facing each other. Not only were they facing each other over here, they were hugging each other. And the Kruvim are a spiritual barometer, know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us. And that tells us that what at the Makom Churban HaBayis, when they're entering and destroying the Beis HaMikdash, there was incredible kirva between Am Yisrael and Avinu Shebas Shemayim. And therefore, even though we may be going through a difficult time right now, and even though things are not as simple as they appear to be, and sometimes we feel distant from the Ribono Shel Olam, we have to understand that sometimes at the farthest point of distance, we have the opportunity for the closest amount of kirva. We have the opportunity for the closest amount of kedusha with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. May it be zocha for us to recognize that fact, and hopefully not need to endure this richuk from the Ribono Shel Olam. But if we do, we'll be zocha in order to have the closest kiras elokim with the binyan based on mikdash meherav yameinu.